We were in the middle of Daf Beis and Abayz yesterday. Before we go through the Gemara, I want to take, because we've shown them already addressed it, they addressed at different points in the Sugya. The consensus opinion happens to be that we paskin like the Tana Kama, the Mishnah, that might be Rabbi Eliezer and everybody else, or it might be just everybody else and not Rabbi Eliezer, depending on the two answers of the Gemara, top of Daf Gimel and Aleph. But whatever that anonymous opinion is at the beginning of the Mishnah, that Nishasha Kohanim Nasan Lecha B'Trumasam, and according to the Brisa that the Gemara quotes about Faith of the Day, that is Seis HaKohavim, that's when Zman Kriya Shema begins. The problem is that Minhag Yisrael for a very long time was actually not to read, not to wait to daven, for whatever reasons it may have to do with practical reasons, they would daven possibly after Shkia, but certainly before Seis HaKohavim. And the question became, what happens to the Mitzvah Kriya Shema if you cannot be mitayim the Mitzvah Kriya Shema until Seis HaKohavim? So Rashi already is alert to this issue here. And remember that Rashi typically in his commentary doesn't go ask kashas from outside things. Right? Rashi is a sugya rishon, very much focused just on the text. It's pretty rare Rashi points out contradictions between Gemaras. That's the hallmark of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and biologically or spiritually, the Bali Hatosos, who could find spheres between all the Gemaras and try to resolve them. But Rashi typically doesn't comment on it that often, and here Rashi launches into an issue which was a practical concern. Again, I'm not saying that Rashi never does that, but it is unusual. So Rashi raises that question. He quotes Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says that why do they read Kriya Shema in the Beis HaKnesses? Then the answer is Kidei Lamod V'Tfila Mitoch Devrei Torah. A number of Rishonim have made the analogy that we typically say Ashrei before we say Tfila. So we say Ashrei before Mincha. We say Ashrei before Ne'ilah. So they would say Kriya Shema instead. So they say Pesukim from Tehillim. They say Pesukim from the Torah. So then how are you Yotzei? So the answer is your Yotze with the Kriya Shema that you read later. Rashi says Kriya Shema al Hamita. So Tosus has four problems with Rashi's Kriya Shema al Hamita. It's the first Tosus in Shas. Problem number one, I'm not going to necessarily go in order. Maybe I will go in order. Problem number one is that what happens to the brachos? That's problem number two. So problem number one, Tosa says, is minhag people have when they read Kriya Shema Lamita, they only read the first parsha. What happened to the three parshas? Problem number two is that what happened to the Berachos Kriya Shema? We don't say, and most of us don't say Berachos, we might say Hamafil, but we don't, that Hamafil has nothing to do with Kriya Shema. Number three, Tosa says that the purpose of Kriya Shema Lamita is because of the Mazikin, to protect you from Mazikin, and if a person says Talmud Chacham, they may not have to say that because they don't require the Shmira. And finally, number four, Tosa says, there is a machlokas later on Daf Daled between Rabbi Shuba Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, whether one requires smichas gula l'tfila at night. Now, everybody holds you to do smichas gula l'tfila during the day, but at night, that's the question. Do you have to do Abdal Yisrael? And Hashkirenu, the Gemara says, is Gu'ula Arichta. The Gemara asks that question. And Hashem Svasai Tiftach is Tila Arichta. That's the beginning of Tila. So basically, we're Somech Gu'ula the Tila. We're Somech Gu'ula Yisrael, and it's extension Hashkirenu to Tila. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says that's actually not the way that you daven at night. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says that, and it's actually a very powerful message. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says that no, that the Tila is Sava Emsa. That the first mitzvah you do in the morning, you do Kriya Shema, then you daven, that's Smichas Gula L'Tfila. And then at night, you daven first, you say the Amida first, and then you say Birchas Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema. Now, I think you read the Gemara and think it through a little bit, but Rabbi Shimon Levi's position isn't just that you don't need Smichas Gula L'Tfila, it's Dafka Shita, the Tfilas to Emsa Tiktum. They literally put the Tfilas there. And the reason for that, and I think that here is a great loss to us, a little bit the way we daven, it just is what it is that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, without Pesukei de Zimra, the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is you mekabel olach b'shamayim. And the last thing you do before you close your eyes at night is you mekabel olach b'shamayim. That's the whole point. that tilos b'emtzei tiknum, because you want the first and the last thing that you do to be the kumecha or b'shachtecha, you want it to be kabbalah samach hashamayim. And it's the kabbalah samach hashamayim is actually more. It's not just I accept God's yoke. The Rambam formulates it a little bit differently. He talks about this mitzvah gedola, which is avas Hashem v'yichuda, and it's not just I accept God's yoke, but it really is a reflection of the way a person lives one's entire day. It's supposed to be framed by this theme of Ahafes Hashem Elokecha and Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad. And that is, it's not just a mitzvah, Kriyashma. Kriyashma is a mitzvah, yes. But there are two mitzvahs, actually three mitzvahs in Kriyashma. Mitzvah number one is the mitzvah of Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. The Rambam is three. Dr. Len Zichron Racha wrote a lot about this. Number two is the mitzvah Kriyashma. The difference between those two is that Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim requires kavana. If you don't have kavana by the first pasuk, the Rambam says, you're not yotze. If you don't have kavana the rest of the Kriyashma, it's fine. It's only just read the stuff. You read the pesukim. And the third mitzvah is to be Talmud Torah, which will be the next sin we're going to do in the year. So the Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim is really, it's not just a formal knowledge that I checked the box. It's about how we're supposed to live our lives the entire day. And you basically bookend the day, according to Rabbi Sherman Levy, by waking up, and the first thing you do is Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim, and the last thing you do before you close your eyes is Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. But Tosa says, we don't postulate Rabbi Sherman Levy, we postulate Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry if I framed it that way, because after I framed it that way, some of you might think, that just sounds like such a good idea. Why don't we do like Rabbi Sherman Levy? So in a certain sense, we don't, but we maybe do. Depending on who she does, or Haigon, I think it was Haigon who actually had, you know, possibly she really did explain what Haigon says. So these are the problems that Tosas raises with Rashi. Again, number one, that we don't read three parshas. We don't have the brachos then when you're doing Kriyas Shema Lamita. A Talmud Chacham doesn't need to do it, it's only in Mazikin. And finally, you ruin Smichas Gula Tzvila. So that was Rashi's position, and I'll explain a little bit more about Rashi, because some of the Rishon sort of accept it in one form or another. But Rashi's assumption, yes, sir.
Is it still Minhag Ashkenaz to only say the first Parsha? Because my father told me to say all the
things. Well, he may have done that precisely because people come and you often daven Maariv too early, so you want to be Yotze. Yeah. That would be why. But as a matter of principle, no. The minhag is only stood. You look in the Siddurim, standard Siddurim. They print Hamatzah, they print one parsha Kriyashma, and they print lots and lots of Sukkim after that. But only one parsha Kriyashma. So Tosfos, Rabbi Natam presents, of course, the most fascinating answer. Rabbi Natam's approach, and it might be Kedarka Bakodesh, where Rabbi Natam wants to justify minhagim. Rabbi Natam goes full out. It's never like, it's different for us, we do it this way, we do it that way. Rabbi Natam says the reason why we read Kriyashma on the shul and we make brachos then, and we don't need Kriyashma Amita, is because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda believes that after Plag HaMincha begins Zman Tfilas Arvis, and that's considered Arvis, and that's maybe considered, well, maybe Zman Shchiva. For Rabbi Yehuda, it's considered Laila with regards to ritual matters. Obviously, it's not Laila with respect to Melacha on Shabbos. That's clearly it's not. But we pass on Rabbi Yehuda, after Plag HaMincha is right, and therefore, it's considered Zman Shchiva. Now, it's difficult a little bit because it's not Zman Shchiva. Maybe Rabbi Natan doesn't buy into that. I mentioned yesterday the Rambam in the first halacha. Did you look at that Rambam? Because it's quite clear if you look at that Rambam, the first halacha in the Kriyashma, he doesn't think that such a thing as Zman Shchiva different than Laila. He goes out of his way almost to say that. So, Rabbi Natan says that Tzvivas Arvis and Kriyashma begin at the Plag HaMincha, so that's a perfect defense and then it all depends. We're not relying upon Kriyashma Shel Arvis. We say the brachos early because that's when we say the brachos. And we have, when we yotzei Kriyashma, and we have Smichas Gula L'Tfila. The problem with Rabbi Natan is that the minhag also was to daven Mincha after Plag HaMincha. Now, they might have been doing, it's possible they were doing Kriyashma after Shia, but before Tzeizach Kochavim. But bottom line is they were doing Mincha after Plag HaMincha. Now, this is an issue potentially both with Kriyashma, which is what they talk about. It's a Tarpei de Sasri. A lot of the Rishon here say it's too kulos to Sasri Adadi, and they point to the example of the Shidra and Gogolas, which you all know what that's talking about. The Gemara in a couple of places in Shas points out that there's a machlokas de Shammai and de Hillel as to what the Shir Chisaron is in a spine or in a skull where it's no longer considered whole, And therefore, there are two nafkaminas. Number one, if you have a dead body, where all that's left are some bones, so etzem kisaora, a bone the size of a barley corn, is betame b'maga b'masa, touching it and carrying it, but it's not betame b'ohel. If you're under under the same roof as it, it's not a problem. Bones are not metame ba'ohel until there's a certain shear of the bones. So one of the permutations of bones that are metame ba'ohel is a shidra or a gulgoles, a spine or a skull. But once the shidra of a gulgoles is chaser, if it's missing part of it, if it has a chisarim, however you define chisarim, it's not metame ba'ohel. There's another nafkamina. If you have an animal that you shech, then it turns out it's missing part of its skull or missing part of its spine, it's a trefa. Now, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have two different shirim. They have the same shir in both places. Beis Hillel, one of them says that one vertebrae is a chisar, and the other one says that two vertebrae is a chisar. And there's different; each has a different shir in the skull. Whatever position you adopt in one area in halacha is a chum, whatever position you adopt is a chum in one place and a kul in the other place. So if you say that only one vertebrae is already a chisar, so it's a kula by Tomas Ohel, because if you have a spine. I'm joking, say Halloween's coming up. So you have a skeleton. Okay, you have a spine of a skeleton. And all you're only missing one vertebrae, but you have all the other vertebrae. So according if you believe that one vertebrae is a chisaron, so now it's a kula, going into the room. It's not metame ba'ohel, as long as it doesn't touch the bones. Whereas if you shecht an animal with the very same thing, the animal's a trefa and you can't eat it. If you held two are considered a chisaron, so lagabe tumas ol, it's a chumra. Because if it's only missing one, it's still metame ba'ohel. But lagabe tochos trefos, it's a kula because if it's only missing one, then you're allowed to eat the animal. So the Gemara says that this is the case when you cannot go like kulei. If someone who adopts chumrei shneihem is a rasha, someone who adopts kulei shneihem is hasil b'chol shecholech. Right, you have to either kibei shamei kichumreihem ukekuleihem or kibei sil kishumreihem kulem before the baskel came out and passed the kibei sil. But that's the general principle. That you cannot adopt two positions within halacha, even if we say you could adopt either position, you can't adopt them in such a way that it's a tarte disaster. So, classically speaking, we don't only think about Kriya Shema, because we accept that Kriya Shema really has to be Balayla, after Pesach Kochavim. But many shuls on Erev Shabbos have the practice, at least in this country, they daven at 7 o'clock. And at certain times of the year, it turns out that you're davening Mincha and Maariv between Plag and Pesach Kochavim. So that many object to that. The Shulchan Aruch objects. I think the Shulchan Aruch objects even to changing a minute from one day to the other, which you use as your cutoff point for Mincha Maariv, either Plag or Tzeisach Kochavim. Interestingly enough, Lagabe the Tzila issue, the Rambam solves that problem. I don't think he was trying to solve the problem, but the Rambam Derech Agav says no. He says that Zman Mincha is Av HaErev, but Zman Tzilas Arvis, he says, you can daven me Plag and Mincha forward. Why would we make Gol Nizman? Because Tzilas Arvis is Rishus. It turns out, even though I don't think this is pointed, I've never seen anybody point this out, according to the Rambam, Zman Tzilas Mincha, you can daven until Shkia. But after you daven Mincha, you can daven Maariv, even if it's before Shkia, because Tzilas Arvis is Rishus that they were made on the Zman.
That doesn't matter if we're talking about
Kriya Shema. Correct. It doesn't address the Kriya Shema issue. It would be hard to argue Yotze Kriya Shema before Shkia Sachaba, before Tzisach Kochavim. For the Rambam, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's tied to the Sasri. It's irrelevant. You can't be Yotze before. That's the point. And especially if you take the Rambam Svara, why is Tzilas Arvis, why can it be done in Plag HaMincha, Lahalan? Because Tzilas Arvis is reversed. So Kriya Shema is not reversed. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. You might be surprised. The machlokas in the Gemara where the Kriya Shema is the Reis of the Rabbanim. But nobody says that it's reshus. And I know that we accept Tzilas Arvis as reshus. So we shall to point out that Klai has also accepted it. There are a number of kulas that we have because it's reshus, but nobody says that Kriya Shema is reshus. I'm sorry, what mean which tila? So we assume that with the Gemara says the fourth parak that Rav Sali Shal Shabbos Be'er Shabbos and Shemotei Shabbos Shabbos. You do to Arvis, you do the tila that would be appropriate to its time. There are a lot of interesting questions that come up in halacha. You know, a better question would be, let's say Friday is Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos is not. And you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, Mincha, now it's already past Shkia. So we'll tell you, so you have to daven Mincha again, but you can't because it's not Mincha past. So you can daven, they'll tell you daven two Maariv Shmoneh Esreis. But you're not going to recite Yalav Yavel in the second Marash Bones, so it's compliment Chabikas, not Rosh Chodesh anymore. So what are you accomplishing doing? But it's clear that when you daven Erev Shabbos, when you're davening after Plag HaMincha on Friday afternoon, when you daven Marash, you daven Shal Shabbos. Effectively, Baruch Hu constitutes, according to the Ramah, Kabbalah Shabbos. It's the same thing. You can, you know, people did it. We generally very strongly discourage it. Al-Pidini, the Gemara, Rav did it. Rav davened. He did that all when it was, broad daylight on Shabbos. It really is mutter, mitzad dinitfila. The Achronim strongly discourage it because they're afraid that people will say, oh, I daven Marav, I can do malacha now. But that's all, you know, that's, it's not even a din of the Gemara, it's a good practice. I would encourage, you know, this issue came up during COVID, when shuls daven outside and they have lighting, so they want, and they also didn't want to keep people around, they afraid people wouldn't come back. So some Rabbanim, and I'm not saying it was wrong, they were making up to say, well, I'll daven maybe right after Shkia Mari, even though we still have another, 30 to 40 minutes before people will really be allowed to do Malacha. So, but Al Pidin, if you're daven in the Amida of Arvis, of the next day, what we would call the next day, you daven whatever it would be of the next day. All right. So, that was Rabbeinu Tam Shita, but it runs into the problems of Tfilas. So then, there are a third position that is now presented in Tosfos as the Ri, which is that the reason why we daven, and again, it sounds to me like they're not davening after Plag. It's not like an Erev Shabbos Plag venue that people might have, where they literally, right after Plag HaMincha, they daven. And remember also, the Balei Tosfos think that Plag is much later than our Plag. Their Plag might have been closer to what we call, might have been the term we call Shkia. Because as I spoke about yesterday in Shir, yesterday, you go back to the tape for yesterday, those who weren't here, I explained the whole business of Rabbeinu Tam Shita and where that comes from. So the Balei Tosfos are probably working with that. But they say that we're about to learn a number of shiurim of different Tanaim had, which wasn't Tzeisach HaChavim, it was a little before Tzeisach HaChavim. It was Misha Kidesh Hayom, it's Misha Zman Shakonim Tovim, all of which are right at the end of the day, but they're a bit before Tzeisach HaChavim. So they say that maybe we hold like those shitas. And this is a point that should be emphasized, that most Rishonim assume, not like the Rambam I mentioned a few moments ago, most Rishonim assume that Kriya Shema is not dependent upon Laila, it's dependent upon Zman Shchiva. And Zman Shchiva and Laila are not necessarily identical. That's the deal. Okay, so therefore that's the third sheet. That the reason why we do it in the Beis HaKnesses is because we paskin that, not like the Mishnah, not like Rabbi Yeshua, that it's Mishnah Shekhanu, Chasol, Mishnah Asa, and Tzei Tzei Chavim, but rather it's a little bit early. That's the way we paskin. There is almost two other approaches that are found. Rabbeinu Yonah was not particularly happy about this, but now see them buy into paskin the other Tanaim. But instead, he presents a position, and others, I think, echo a similar kind of thing, which is along the following lines. You're not Yotzei Kriya Shema in Shul. However, Birchas Kriya Shema is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. It's something else, it's a kind of Tefillah. And therefore, if you do Birchas Tefillah, Samoch Le'erev, that's good enough for Birchas Kriya Shema. And they also, I don't know what the Shulchan Aruch says, I think I'll be Din, I think the Shulchan Aruch may pass in this way, when you repeat Kriya Shema, later, how many parshas do you need to repeat? Two. Why did you have to repeat the third? Because what's the purpose of the third parsha? Yitzias Mitzrayim. So firstly, it should be noted that I believe the Rambam, the Rif and the Rush, don't even pass it as a chi of Yitzias Mitzrayim b'laylos. The Rambam, interestingly enough, and the Rav had a whole, I'm sure this must be in one of the Rav's Shiur Mezecha Rav Amari's al. The Rambam assumes that there's an obligation to be maskei Yetzias Mitzrayim b'laila, but he doesn't count it as a mitzvah. If you look at the Koteret Hilchos Kriya Shema, there's only one mitzvah, to read Kriya Shema, Arvis and Shachris. In other words, it's the Machlokas of Tanaim. You all know this Machlokas because we recite it as part of the Haggadah. The Machlokas of Elozeb and Azayin and Chachamim, where the maskei Yetzias Mitzrayim b'laila is not. Is there an obligation in the third parsha? The Gemara, in I think the second parak, maybe it's the first parak, maybe it's the end of the first parak, is going to say that the Ma'arava, what they used to do, this is what they did at night. Vayomer Adonai Hashem Lemor Daber El Bnei Yisrael Ve'Matza Alehem Ani Adonai Elohechem. Okay, and then they, I don't know where they skipped to until they got to Gal Yisrael, because they hold you didn't have to do Yisrael Malevus. So they took the opening part of that. They found the pasuk. The pasuk gets seven Achrimos Kedoshim. And they took the beginning part of the third parsha, the end part of the third parsha, and that's all they said. Because you didn't have to say the third parsha. I think the Gemara says that we said, well, we start the parsha. Once we start the parsha, we have to finish the parsha. So that's why we say the parsha at night. Now, that may also be because you say Ames Kamuna, which could be Mekayim as Chir Sitzu Yitzvah Malelos anyway. So, coming back to our issue. So Rabbeinu Yonah says that Birkas Kriyas Shema said before is not a big deal. But what are you supposed to do when you say Kriyas Shema later? You don't rely upon Kriyas Shema later. You know why? People only say one parsha. People aren't having kavan anyway. That's totally not the right idea. You have to be mekabel shemayim v'yira. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, yes, you're supposed to read Kriyas Shema. And if he says all three parshas are true, I assume he says all Kriyas Shema. You read that after Tzeisach Kochavim. What happened to Birchas Kriyas Shema? Well, Birchas Kriyas Shema are not Birchas Mitzvah, you mekayim them earlier. But you read Kriyas Shema, you're not making any kind of brachos. So he quotes a tradition, Tosus doesn't quote this, but other Rishonim quoted, I think from Haigel, that you make a bracha. Asher kedishan sasavet zivanu lekoros ha-shema. But Rabbeinu Yonah rejects that. He says, we don't find any such bracha. So what bracha do you make? He says, you make the bracha of Abba Rabba, or Abba Solom. That bracha, you say the second bracha, when you repeat Kriyas Shema later, to be the mitzvah, it's like if it's really a bracha in Talmud Torah, you recite Abba Solom, and you say Kriyas Shema after that. Oh, but you're all chachamim going to ask, how can you start with Abba Solom? And bracha is supposed to begin with the baruch, right? A bracha that's not in sequence, that's not a bracha, smucha lachaverta. So always begins with a bracha, and it's all the subsequent brachas that don't have one. Like, for example, some of you heard of this thing called the Amida, you know, Shmonesse brachas, right? So you start off Baruch HaTah Hashem, well, you don't even have it there, because it says it is Shem Malchus. Baruch HaTah Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu is Malchus. So then, and the bracha ends with Baruch HaTah Hashem again, Abraham. How does the next bracha begin? Baruch HaTah Hashem, Elokeinu Mecholam, Atagi Baruch. No, it doesn't. What happened to the bracha at the beginning? And the answer is it's a bracha Simucha Lachaverta. Birchas Kriyas Shema, Bracha Simucha Verta. The first bracha begins Yotzera Baruch HaTah Hashem Mekem Yotzera Bechoshech Baruch HaTah Hashem Mekem Lacham Asher B'dvar Amar Varvim. Bracha and ends with Amar Varvim with Yotzer Maros, and the next bracha begins Abba Rabba, Abba Solom, whatever your minhag is. That's how the next bracha begins. So where's the baruch? Where's the baruch at the beginning of MSV of Yatziv? Or MSV? The answer is it's all considered a bracha Simucha Verta. The first bracha opens with the bracha and ends, and everything else just ends, but doesn't have to open with bracha. That's part of the matzeh of brachos. It comes up later in the first parak of brachos. So the question is, how can you say Abba Solom at night as your bracha of Kriyas Shema? It doesn't begin with the bracha. So Rabbeinu Yonah points out that this is a general rule that we have, that once a bracha is not smuch, once a bracha is normally smuch chachverka, even if we unsamuch it, it still does, retains the same form. It's for the very same reason in the opposite direction. Any of you ever attend a wedding? It's not always a given, by the way. There are people who, I probably never attended weddings until late in my college time. So it's not a given that you attended a wedding. But if you attended a wedding, so you know there's a bracha they make at the end of the Shabbat bracha. So you know what that bracha is? Baruch atah Hashem Eloteinu Mecholam, Masher Baras Hasom Simcha, Hasan Mechala, etc. You notice the two brachas before it, Sos Tosis and Sameach Tisamach, do not begin with a bracha.
No.
Why not? The answer is because their brachas are Smuchas Lachaverta. If
that's there
Baruch HaTah Hashem Elokeinu Me'acholam Shachol Baruch Odo Baruch HaTah Hashem Elokeinu Me'acholam Yotzer Adam Baruch HaTah Hashem Elokeinu Me'acholam Asher Yatzar Es Adam Mitzalmo. Okay, it ends with a bracha.
Sure.
Right. Then Sameach Tesamach.
Yeah.
And then Sos Tosis. Then Sameach Tesamach.
Yeah.
Now you're in the sequence. So why don't you now say Asher just say Asher Baras Hashem Simcha? Why do you live in a bracha?
Oh, okay.
So the answer is because the bracha of Asher Bara is made even when you don't have a minyan. When you have a mezuman, you can make the bracha of Asher Bara. You don't need panim chadashos for the Asher Bara. It's rare that it happens for us. People don't know the din, but you can make Asher Bara without the minyan. Therefore, when you make it without a minyan, how does it have to begin? That apparently was its norm. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Achalam Asher Baras Hashem Simcha. Therefore, even when it's attached to the previous ones, it retains that bracha. Ian? Well, because they're brachas kitzaros. There's no place for a chasima sabracha.
It's only
if it's a long bracha that you can put the bracha at the end. You want an example of a bracha smucha verta, even though it's not even in the first one's dan shas, yishtabach. Yishtabach is a bracha smucha to Baruch Shama.
Sure.
Baruch Shama opens with a baruch and forgets the stuff at the beginning and closes the baruch. And then Yishtabach is a Smucha Verta, so it doesn't open with a baruch.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
So, by the way, Birchas HaMazon is the perfect example.
Right.
There are more rules than this, but the first bracha begins and ends with the bar. No delecha, rachem, and only because it was a later takara, I felt my makim, and it's not really part of Kriya Shema. Now, bracha mazo, really, it's not midaraisa, so felva makim opens with the bracha. The more interesting question is, why does it not close with the bracha given its length? And the argument is because it's just one theme. Some of these rules are post-facto descriptions, but they mostly fit. So they're always the exception, you know. But Tfilas Haderach, by the way, I think the Rabbeinu Yonah points out, why does Tfilas Haderach not begin with the bracha? So Rabbeinu Yonah claims, it's here, Rabbeinu Yonah says, because what's the concluding bracha of Tfilas Haderach? Shema Tfilah. And normally Shema Tfilah is in a sequence of brachas without Tficha. The one example that doesn't have a bracha at the beginning, and we show them to fetch, is the bracha on rain. Modim anachlacha al kol tipa v'tipa shalatam samet. The Gemara says, I think in the ninth parak, and if you want to read, look in the Rashba, around Daf Yud Aleph in our parak, the Rashba goes on an enormous length. It's also, if you nudge me before Pesach, I'll talk about the din of Hallel on Leil Pesach, and the whole question of whether you should make a bracha shalat. It's a really fascinating sugya. It all ties into this particular stuff. It's very hard. It's hard to say. It's not simple. Again, we're taking rules and we're trying to apply them to facts that we know already.
Right.
That is, you know, sometimes a lot of contrary to brisker thought, a lot of things work in that direction, where the facts are known and now you have to explain them, as opposed to starting with theory and then applying it everywhere. It's just, what's that? Don't say that. I understand. Okay. There's a reason I'm standing here. Okay, so anyway, and then finally there is an unbelievable fifth approach to this, which is the Gaonim. I think it's a high Gaonim. He says, you're not Yotzei earlier. You shouldn't say the brachos in the Beis HaKnesses. You should sit there silently. You read Kriya Shema every day like Yerushalmi says. When you come home, you then say Kriya Shema Brachos Tehavas Mana. Oh, what happened to Smicha School of Tfilah? The answer is Tfilas Arvus is Rishus. This is not the only place where that logic is invoked. Tosus says that I think the reason why we say a Kaddish after Birchus Kriya Shema, that's a Hefsek at night. We say the Kaddish to show that it's Tfilas Arvus is Rishus. I think Tosus, there are two Tosus in the Minasechta. One's on Fafes Amid Beis. No, that's not. It's around that area. One is on Chaf Zayin Amid Beis, but where's the other Tosus? He doesn't tell you where's the other one, where he goes on to explain that because Tfilas Arvus is Rishus, we do funny things. I think that's what he says, we say a Kaddish or something like that. So Tfilas Arvus, so he says, therefore, we're Mavata on Smicha School of Tfilah, which is kind of interesting because just because Tfilas Arvus is Rishus, why wouldn't you have Smicha School of Tfilah? But I guess if you don't have to daven in the first place, there's no Smicha School on Leh, nothing. And so he says, you say the brachos. Later, the regular brachos of Kriya Shema, Kriya Shema. And he says, if you really want to engage in Amidas Hasidus, daven the first time in shul as a Tfilas Nedava, and then later you daven when you say your Kriya Shema. And I think Rabbeinu Yonah, or the Rush says that normally when you do a Tfilas Nedava, you have to be Mechadish Dava. But he says, I think here, there's no greater Kiddush than the fact that you're davening late, that you're doing the brachos of Kriya Shema, the real Kriya Shema later, something like that. And that is not common practice. The common practice, I think, is to assume actually like Rabbeinu Yonah's approach, and other Rishonim say this also, the Rashba might say this, which is that you're not Yotzei Kriya Shema, but it's okay to say Birchas Kriya Shema earlier. Might even be, maybe you don't even have to say Yotzeis Mitzrayim again. But you're not Yotzei Kriya Shema, so therefore, after Seisach Chavim, you read Kriya Shema, but we read without any brachas. We don't say the bracha of the Gonim, Asher Kishon Tzol Likron Shema. We don't say the bracha of Avas Olam again, we just say Kriya Shema alone. It is a good idea, I can't say I always do this, it's a good idea to actually do it before you do Kriya Shema alone. You can. And many of you said that you just said you say Kriya Shema alone, you say multiple parshas. But as many of you know, certainly let's say on a Friday night, when you're trying to say Kriya Shema alone, you're very lucky if you get through it. The only defense of that, and someone, I think somewhere if you find, again, you read through all that we've shown them here, some may defend the fact that you only read the first parasha of Kriya Shema Lamita because really only the first parasha is the Raisa. That's one some state. Maybe. So the Gemara in the beginning of the second parasha is going to talk about what, I think it's the second parasha, not the first. Talk about what is the Raisa and what is not. But the Gemara there says that some of the Tanaim, like if they were having dozing, they would tell the Shamash, only like elbow me while, until I get through the Pasuk Rishona, the parasha Rishona. So, but you know what it's like saying Krishna when you lie down Friday night, especially, maybe for all of you, any particular night. So it's probably a better idea to try. What's that? Especially. That's because Hashem is Shabbat. You said that in the Zvira, so that's why. You're hold of it. Hashem is Shabbat. And therefore, it's very hard to have appropriate focus for it. So I could say this to myself as well. One should try to be Mahadev, you know, do it earlier.
On most nights, like sometimes there'll be like a Marv minyan later, but on Shabbat, usually the Marv minyan.
Well, that may be true. That's true as well. And the other thing, and I've seen people do this in their family, right, is that it's a question of starting to eat before you read Kriya Shema. So in many, many contexts, not all, not if you daven plag, but if you daven a regular Zman, you know, Kriya Shema, I think here, I don't know what Shechter does personally, but he has them wait, I think, to like 30 minutes before they daven Maariv. They're feeling at that point it's already after Tzeis, at least for the purposes of Kriya Shema. But most shuls, by the time you get home from shul, they might have read Kriya Shema. You know, again, when they have a Kabbal Shabbos, you know, if you have a Kalbach Kabbal Shabbos, you've probably said Shema easily after 30 minutes. But if not, like, as soon as you get home, before you make Kiddush, you can say Kriya Shema then, and then that would be the best option.
So, and that's a question all down specifically for our shuls. So if you're doing Talmud Torah at Tzibur, would you have it developed anyway?
I think we treat Tzibur's artists like the Chova. We'll get to this later, if God willing, in the fourth parash. And we don't say that someone is potter from tefillah unless terasim and nasa. That's a very exceptional thing. So you could have said, someone is learning, so maybe that should offset tefillah. It's just, we treat it as a chova. It's a chova unless you have something else that overrides it. And I think it would be presumptuous for us to assume that we are so terasenu umanasenu that we can override it. I think so.
And
what's
the
actual like practical difference between the tefillah and shul? I think there is some indication of just being mitzvah, like enough to like not uncommon, but like there is. Yeah, it is pretty rare. It's very hard. I gave you an example where because it's a shush, we don't not matzah on tzvichas but it's tefillah. But it's pretty rare that we say that something that wouldn't override mincha would override marik. I'm not really sure what the case exactly would be. One place might be that women are not accepted upon themselves. There's a whole discussion about that issue. What happens if a woman forgot to daven mincha? Putting the Magen Avraham aside, the Modani, the Pashtus is that women are chayav to daven at least Shabbos and mincha. They're the same creed as men. So there is some tshuva where Shlomo Zalman talks about when would they do tefillas tashlumin of mincha? Shachas Omar, and right, the question is, I don't remember, this very, very interesting essay, I think it's what Shlomo Zalman has on it. Then probably they could do that. I don't remember anymore. I looked at it a long time ago. It's interesting. Okay, so anyway, fine. So that's it. So our minhag. Our minhag, most people, most of Kali Yisrael, is that we will daven even before Tzeis HaKohanim, but you have to repeat at least two, maybe better, three parshas of Kriya Shema after Tzeis HaKohanim without brachas. Right?
Yeah, here we are. Mainly those waiting until Shabbat to finish. So you're not starting the meal until after full Tzeis HaKohanim, and then the other minhag, which you had daven a little earlier, before Tzeis,
you're asking, should they read before the meal?
Yeah.
For sure. There's no reason not to when they're sitting around waiting. So, I mean, unless people are not eating in the cafeteria, you know, there's no point in davening Maariv earlier because you don't accomplish anything. If you're eating it in somebody's apartment, so then you might accomplish something. But probably in most cases, even there, by the time Maariv is over, again, unless you daven early, which I don't think they do here, I'm pretty sure they don't, unless you daven plag, where you daven 7 o'clock, by the time Maariv is over, it's already going to be the time you can recreate Shema. Is it recreate Shema then? Okay, so now the Gemara continues dealing with the Zman. So coming back to that base on the base, so far we had a Mishnah that told us that the Zman of Tchilas Kriya Shema was Bishah Shakohanam Nechnasim Lacha B'Shumasim, which is also Seis HaKohanim. The Brisa tells us that Seis HaKohanim. And then we encountered a Brisa that said that the Zman begins with Bizman Sha'ani Nechnas Lecha Pito B'Melach. Why does the Ani enter to eat his bread with salt? Why
is it bad bread that's stale?
Not, it might be stale. Why does it tell us that? Shimmy?
Because the salt is expensive?
No. Probably because he didn't have anything else to put on the bread. Everybody else has liftan to put on the bread. All the ani has is melach.
Right.
So the ani enters, and only until the ani finishes. So the Gemara had said, clearly the ending time of this brisa is against all three opinions of the Mishnah. Right? There are four opinions total. Number one, I'll go from latest to earliest, is alos ha-shachar. Number two is chatzos. Number three is sof ha-shmur rishona. And number four is when the ani finishes eating his meal. It start, according to this brisa, it starts when he starts, it finishes when he finishes. That's the Zman Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, for sure, the finishing time is against the Mishnah, but does the starting time against the Mishnah? So the Gemara initially says, no, it could be that the Zman Sha'ani Nichnas Lecho Pika B'melach is the same as the Zman Sha'kohanim Nichnasim Lecho B'trumasim. Yes.
According to this, to that opinion, would the Ani have to
say Kriya Shema in the middle of his meal? So all the Rishonim asked this question, when does the Ani eat? So, you'll like this, but it doesn't really apply to Ani. Tosis asked the question, I think, Tosis asked Ani. So Tosis says, well, obviously, it doesn't mean when he eats, it says when he enters to eat, because when he enters to eat, others are still preparing his meal, so that's when he says Kriya Shema.
Oh, there's some preparing his meal,
Ani. He's got a wife.
Fair enough.
Okay. All right, so that was it. So all the Rishonim asked that question. Okay. And the truth is, you could have asked the same question on the Kohanim. Shasha Kohanim Nechlasim, Lachol B'Shemasim. It means that's the time they enter. It could be also their, you know. Well, okay, I'll leave it at that. Viraminhu. The Gemara asks, we have a stira. Ne'emasa maskeh lelikos kriya shema ba'arvis. Mishashka ne'odom nechlasim lachol pitan ba'arvis shabasos tivir rabbi meh. Ha'chachamim omer misham shakohanim zaka'im lachol B'Shemasim. Similar to the Kohanim. Now we're assuming Kohanim Zakon and Lachol B'Shemasim is the same thing as Nechnas and Lachol B'Shemasim. Right? That doesn't. The Gemara could have actually distinguished between the two, although it won't solve the problem it wants to solve. Because look, when Tisha B'Av is over, when do you start preparing the food? After the fast is over, or before the fast is over?
Before it's over.
When do you start preparing the food for on Yom Kippurim? Before the fast is over, after it's over?
After, because it's Malachah.
Really? Really, really? Let's say you want to chop up the vegetables for a salad and there's no malacha. Can you do that?
Is that preparing for after?
Read the Gemara and Shabbos and Shemona Shrats and Kanib Asyar, they were permitted because of Agma Sefer. I think I expect it makes you feel even worse, even though Yom Kippur is not to stay a tzar. Inu. So, yes, Kanib Asyar would appear to be mutter. Take a look at the Gemara Shabbos. I assume it's quoted in Shachar. Nobody in the Gemara argues. But my point was not the point of Yom Kippur. My point is the point of the fast days. You don't wait. Now, Tisha B'Av, you don't wait to make the food until Tisha B'Av is over. Otherwise, you'll be waiting another half hour.
Yeah.
Right? You start to make your stuff enough time. So you'll finish it when Tisha B'Av is over. So, Mishasha Kohanim Nechnasim Lachol B'Shemasim versus Zakon Lachol B'Shemasim, you could have made a chiv. We don't. We assume, of course, that somebody else prepared their food for them. But, Brisa says that Rav Meir says, when B'Shav Shmei Avin Nechnasim Lachol Pita B'Av Shabbasas, Rechacham Say Mishasha Kohanim Zachol B'Shemasim. Which is Sitzim Chavim. The Acha Pisha Ma'ayim Adabar Zeichal Adabar Shanem Ravanachro Simbal Bimalacha Vechetziam Machzi Kim Biramachim Elos HaShachar Tzeisach Kochavim. You know the story here? I don't want to go into the story at length, but since we do our Gada, I want you to know a little Tanakh too. Why did half them hold weapons?
No, the people around them are they building this wall?
Yes, because the people around did not want them building the wall around Jerusalem. San Valach HaChorani and all his friends in the book of Ezra, and they were interfering with the building. So the Jews had to basically have half of the people, instead of building the wall, they had to be engaged in doing guard duty. So half of them were holding Malachim, and half of them were doing Malacha. Me'alos HaShachar Ad Teis HaKochavim. The Omer, and part of that in that section, it says, V'hayolanu HaLayla Mishmor V'hayol Malacha. So the question is, so even though there's no raya, that night begins at. Even though there's no raya, that Laila. Even though there's no raya, that Kriya Shema has to be at Tzeisach Kochavim. You have a Miktas raya. Why is only Miktas raya? Because Tosus points out, and other Mishnayim say this also. Tosus doesn't spell it out. Kriya Shema is a man Shiva, not Laila. So the fact that the Braisa, the Pesukim are going to prove that Tzeis HaKochavim is Laila, doesn't prove that Kriya Shema is a Tzeisach Kochavim, because it could be, yes, Tzeisach Kochavim is Laila, for things that have been of Laila. What things have been of Laila? For that, you look in the Mishnah at the end of the second parak of Megillah. So, Siras Omer is Balaila. Hekachav Lelarim is all Laila. It's not, it could be done even during the day. There aren't too many things that's mitzvahs on Balaila. Mikra Megillah is of night is mitzvahs on Balaila. But you know, by the way, that's not mentioned in the Mishnah. You know why? Pastures is confined in the Mishnah. They didn't read the Megillah at night. They only read it during the day. The Ikar Mitzvah, people don't realize. I didn't realize it's going to be. The Ikar Mitzvah and Megillah is during the day. That's all the Mishnah mentions. The Yushalmi mentions the Minhag. The Bible says that Chayav Adam Likras is a Megillah Balaila Mishnah Sabayom. When you read that, the maskana, it sounds like the chiyuv is at night and then you appear during the day. It's not true. The Bible says that, but that's not what it means. Right? What it means, the Ikar Kriyas Megillah is during the day. The night is a later development. And the Yushalmi, I think it's clear, some places didn't have the minute to read it at night.
That's a surprisingly quick turnover if the Mishnah doesn't have it, but the Gemara does.
No, it's not.
Aniyim
Fluyos the Mikra Megillah. Yeah, but no, but the point, the real point is that Mikra Megillah is an idava that Ikar Mitzvah is Bayom. It's the day of Purim.
Is that because
the Ikar was Yom, because the Aniyim have a Mitzvah Yom in the same day? Well, the Gemara never, it's a very interesting suggestion you're making, the Gemara doesn't tie it that way. Right? The some pastures is, like all the Mitzvah Seyam, we say that Matanus Lavionim and Suda and Mishloach Manos all supposed to be, have to be done during the day, not at night. And Mikra Megillah, all the mitzvahs are mitzvahs during the day of Purim, which makes sense because I know we do think, remember, there's no time in Esther in the time of Gemara. And so really, it's period of Gaonim. And it's not mentioned. The Gemara has four minor fasts, Tisha B'Av, Shasta V'Tammuz, Sarva Teves, and Tzom Yadai. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Dr. Ches, and which is a Tosef, and so
but what did they say about your
That's why you can read the Megillah on that day for the fire. Yeah. So the Tosus mentions it there. He mentions Yom Kippur that it became a fast, but it's from the period. As far as we know, Tanis Esther is less chamor than the other Tanis because it doesn't have the force of the Gemara. It only is from the period of the Gomim. So if you take that away, you take away Mikra and Golila, Purim is like, you know, it starts during the day. It's like, you know, we switch fast days. It's totally sociologically different for us because we have a fast day before, because we do everything at night. Look, I imagine you go to most shuls, most communities, there's greater mikra and Megillah attendance at night than there's during the day. It's a sociological phenomenon. You grow up in it, you think it's the Ikar reading. You even learn the Gemara and Da'atal and Megillah. You say, oh, Chai Dal Mikas and Megillah and Mishnah Sabayim and the Gemara and Havamina. That you read the Megillah at night and you learn the Mishnah is during the day. And the Gemara said, no, the Mishnah Sabayim means to repeat it. But really, the Chiyav is during the day because that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that, called Avashem Mitzvah Sabayim, so it's supposed to be a Panetahama, Bidiyavim Melos HaShachar, anything Tzasa Vadaimas, Kasha Kalalaima. The Mishnah has almost nothing to list at night and it doesn't mention Megillah. It mentions Megillah on those things that are Tzasa Kalayim. It's right that Mishnah is like the last stop or two of the second part. It's in the second part. It's good to have the second part, right?
Doesn't mean that it's easier to yotze during the day when it's
a I'm sorry?
It's easier to yotze during the day when it's a kippur because the halal will go that night.
It's a what?
Ignore him. I thought the time is ended at the beginning of the year. Okay. Because you can't hear the Megillah at night because Shul's a Balagan.
Ah.
That's what he said. Okay. It's his Lithuanian soul coming to the fore again. He only has a Lithuanian soul. How does someone with Sardi Arjun get a Lithuanian soul? I missed it also, but it's funny. Let's go on. All right. So anyway, so the Gemara, so the Sukkim there speak about, say that, are going to tie the Omer, the Pasuk says, so the question is, why does the Gemara need to quote that pasuk? In other words, we understand they, when do people work during the day? When did they work? Why do you need the Omer? Whenever you have a brisa that quotes a pasuk that seems to be almost sufficient, and that says the Omer, the Gemara always asks the Babylonians, always asks my the Omer. Why do you need a second pasuk? So the Gemara says, and before they even talk about what it means, the whole reason of quoting this brisa, they say my the Omer. The Gemara explains, that as soon as the sun set, it's night. The inu demachashrei mekadmi. They worked longer hours. They came before day and they worked into the night. Tashma v'hayolanu alaylem shavayim malacha. All right. So now that we put that aside, what we've seen is that Pesach Kochavim is Laila. The Tzman Kriya Shema according to Chachamim is Laila, and Rabbi Meir is Mishal Shvei Nachas Lachopitan. Rabbi Shabbosos disagrees with them. So the Gemara says, "Kasal Kedai Kafta Ani Bnei Adam Chad Shi'uru." They were assuming that the time that an Ani eats Pita B'Melach and Bnei Adam Nachmas Lachobar Shabbos is the same time. Why do we assume it's the same time? Because people eat at the same time. Everybody gets hungry at the same time. It may be that Shar B'nei Adam have more to eat. They have better stuff to eat. You know, the Yamim eat bread and salt, and the Ashirim get peanut butter on their bread. But the bottom line is they eat at the same time. So that's what the Gemara said we thought. The E Amris Ani the Kohen Chad Shi'urahu Chacham Hani Rabbi Meir. If you say that an Ani and a Kohen are the same Shir, then, and B'nai Adam is the same as Ani, so there's no machlokus in the Brisa. Why does Rabbi Meir present one thing and the Chachamim another? Ela Shmani na Ani Shur Lechod Mekoin Shur Lechod. So the Gemara says, no, Ani Bekoin Chachir, Huva Ani B'nai Adam, not Chachir. No, you can solve the seer not by saying that Ani equals B'nai Adam, and Ani and B'nai Adam are not the same as Kohanim. Instead, you can have Ani be like Kohanim, and B'nai Adam are different than Ani. Why does the Gemara even want to do this? What does Gemara accomplish? I think it accomplishes making the earlier Brisa, which is anonymous, even though it doesn't solve the problem, it seems to want to make that light. That Mishnah, that Brisa at least won't be arguing on a Mishnah.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure that it accomplishes that much, but that's what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara says, you really want to say the Ani, the Kohen Chad Shi'urahu? It's not true. V'ruminu. Ve'ema say maschilu lekor shema ba'ardin. Mishar shakida shayom ba'arbe shabbosos de Rabbi Yasser. So Rashi explains the beginning of Beilash Mashas. It's very hard. This is one of my least favorite Gemaras and Brachas because it's hard to keep all these shittos straight. And they're not explicit either. So like, what is the Gemara? What does the Brisa mean? So Rabbi Eliezer's opinion here is the beginning of Bein Hashmashas. Now, stop right now when you know there's a problem. What's the problem for Rabbi Eliezer? The Gemara will say this at the end. But you should realize the Gemara is going to say this. What's the problem for Rabbi Eliezer?
Just the Shkia?
No.
The Mishnah.
In the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, which we know, stays at the Chavim.
Doesn't the Tanakh say that?
Ah, so that's the Gemara's two approaches. One answer the Gemara is going to give on top of Gimel Malach, it's Trey Tanai, I leave it Rabbi Eliezer, meaning Rabbi the Tana of the Mishnah taught Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, the assumption of this answer is that all three opinions in the Mishnah agree that the beginning is Zman, they're only arguing the end Zman. So you have to say it's Trey Tanai, I leave it Rabbi Eliezer. The Tana of the Mishnah, I leave it Rabbi Eliezer, says, the beginning of Zman Kriya Shema is Tzeisach Kochavim, and the time of the Brisa says to be Shashu Kiddush Hashem, the beginning of Beilash Mashas. The alternative answer the Gemara provides is that the opening line of Mishnah is not Rabbi Eliezer, even though it looks like it bleeds into Rabbi Eliezer, and in fact, there are two separate parts. The first part of the Mishnah is Zman Kriya Shema begins with Tzeisach Kochavim, and then when does Zman Kriya Shema end? Three opinions. Those three opinions don't necessarily agree about the opening part of the Mishnah. So those are the two ways the Gemara will read it on top of Gimel Malach. But you should realize in reading the Brisa, immediately there's a sphere between the two Rabbi Eliezers. Because when you learn Mishnayos and you learn Gemaras, you pay very careful attention to what the names of the Tanaim Amalim who are citing these are. So when you see another Brisa and another Masechta, you immediately know that there's a sphere between what Rava said here and Rava said there. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. That's why none of us pay attention, and that's why we never notice until Tosis says it. By the way, how could Rabbi say this? He's another that elsewhere. Because the Talmud Tosis paid attention to who said what. So the Musar Haskalos, you're supposed to pay attention to who says what, even though we tend to ignore it. You know, there's a Sifrei, there's a Medrash Halacha on Varim, and Parshas Shoftim, that says, Lo Sasi Gevu Re'acha. The Gemara says, Minayin Shemach, Divrei Rabbi Leza, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Leza, Shomar Velo Sasi, Shalema, Lo Sasi Gevu Re'acha, Shagavu Rishonu. That's the Sifrei. What are you going to do? So you got to pay attention. You have to pay careful attention to who says what. Okay. So, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is the beginning of the Hashem Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishal Sheh Kohanim Mituharim Lecha B'Tzumasam, when they are allowed to eat, which means Tzeisach Kohanim. Then, Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishal Sheh Kohanim Tovlim Lecha B'Tzumasam, when they do Tefillah. Now, what is the relationship of Rabbi Meir's opinion to Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua? If you had to put it chronologically, where would it go? Before Rabbi Eliezer, between Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua, after Rabbi Yeshua?
Before.
Not a trick question. What's the answer? Shimi? But it has to be first, because when do you have to go to the mikvah?
Before.
At a time that is Vaday Day. Otherwise, if you go to the mikvah Bein HaShemashas, you're not taller after Tisal Chavim, because maybe you were Tovel at night, and if you were Tovel at night, you're Har Shemesh the next day. So at least these three Tanaim, it's easy to place their sequence. Rabbi Meir, which is, it's still a little bit day, it's still clearly day. And what are you doing? You're reading Kriya Shema, but it's day. Why? Because Zman Shiva might not be the same thing as Laila. Rabbi Elazar says, once Bein HaShemashah starts, now it's the Suffolk period, Mishat Shekid Hashem, because people can't do Malach anymore. And finally, Rabbi Yeshua says, when it's Vaday Laila. Those are three opinions, but we're not done. Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Meir, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, V'alo Kohanim Bevayonim Tovim. The Kohanim go to the mikvah when it's like broad daylight. So the truth is, the Rishonim ask, okay, and according to you, Rabbi, well, we'll see later what bothers the Rishonim. The question is the following. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when can you say Kriya Shema?
Like a little bit before Shkia, I guess?
No. I mean, maybe, but it depends how you define those things. When does according to Rabbi Yehuda, when do you daven? When can you daven Arif? After Plaga Mincha. Presumably, when are you saying Kriya Shema? After Plaga Mincha. When is after Plaga Mincha? Mipo Jom.
Are we presuming that when they're talking about time to say Kriya Shema, you're going to be saying Arif right after?
Like, so, you are correct. It's a fair question because it may be an anachronism. It might be that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanaim, aren't assuming that automatically.
Yeah.
So it's possible. But that's Tosis's kasha, the bottom Tosos. And he says that Rabbi... but he asked the question differently, which he understands the question of Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda's question for Rabbi Meir? They understand it is, it's not Zman Shiva. People don't go to sleep at the end of the day. They go to sleep at night.
Yeah.
So what Tosos says, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say it to himself? He would allow you to say Marav. He's assuming you could say Marav. But the answer is Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold Zman Shiva. He holds a Laila. And when does Laila begin for Rabbi Yehuda? Laila Mitzvah. Okay.
Fine.
Yes, and I don't think he would say if I'm. I can't conceive he would say if I'm malacha. But you know he doesn't say if I'm malacha. You know he doesn't, because Rabbi Yehuda is the novel of discussions of Bein HaShemashos. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Yehuda says to Rameh, that he doesn't offer his own opinion of when is the man Kriya Shema. Rabbi Chanina Omer Mishar Sha'ani Nechnes Lecho Pita B'Melach. And now you see the problem, because Rabbi Meir had Rabbi Meir had Bishar Sha'ani not Rabbi Meir. I'm sorry, the last one. Rabbi Chai Ma'ami L'Avacha Omer Omer Mishar Sha'ani B'nei Adam Nechnesim L'Chosev. It's where most people come to eat. V'i Amris Ani V'Kalein Chad Shi'urahu. Oh, you were saying Rabbi Chanina Hein Rabbi Yeshua. Now, the last thing for the Gemara to do here, before it starts posing stiras, because you all know all the shitas are clear in your head by now, the last thing the Gemara has to do, before it gets to dealing with that, is to establish what are the times. It only is concerned with the time of the Ani. Hai minayam u'cha. What's the latest time? I mean, where does the Ani go? Mistab or da'ani mu'cha? The Ani's time of eating is after the Kohanim. In other words, once you've established it, Zman Ani, Achilas Anim, and Zman Achilas Kohanim B'Truma is not the same, so now you have to figure out which is first. So the Gemara says, Mistaber Da'ani Mu'uchar, the Amr Stadi Mukhtam of Chanina, Hainu Rabbi Lezer. Well, in other words, we have Rabbi Meir, is still daylight. Rabbi Eliezer beginning Bein HaShemashos. Rabbi Yeshua end of Bein HaShemashos. So it must be, if you were to move the Ani earlier than Rabbi Yeshua, he would be Rabbi Eliezer. It's like it's quantum. You can't say, well, how about right in the middle of Bein HaShemashos? That's not a choice. Or much, much earlier. They don't want to say that. If it's earlier than Rabbi Meir, that's not Zman Shchiva according to anybody. So therefore, the Ani is Me'uchar. Okay. And they never bothered to establish where Bnei Adam is.
Presumably, Bnei Adam would eat even later because they have candles.
Maybe. That could be. Fine. So Amar Mar, the Gemara now goes to cut apart one part of the Brisa. Amar Lev Yehuda, Ba'alot Kohanim B'Vadyon Hei Tovim. The Kohanim are Tovim B'Vadyon. That was his tiny answer on Meir. So the Gemara's Shapir Kamei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir. So even though it's not obvious, there's a very important Musar in this Gemara. Is that when you have an argument with somebody, you're supposed to argue on rational grounds. someone makes an argument, it's not enough to scream at them. You actually have to respond to an argument. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda's Tanya against Rabbi Meir was a good Tanya. Shaka come out of the Meir. So what would Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir wouldn't scream at him and call him a name and shout louder. Rabbi Meir presumably would have had a rational response to Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Meir, Hachi come and this is what he would say to Rabbi Huda. Mi sapris tana amena shmashas di dach kamina? No, ana amena shmashas to Rabbi Yosef kamina. I'm not working with your Ben Hashemashas when it's like light out, because remember, Yehuda says that Ben Hashemashas goes from Shkir to Tzeis HaKochavim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says Ben Hashemashas is right before Tzeis HaKochavim. It's Keherach Ayin. So therefore, there's a period after the way we do Shkia. I'm going to cheshbon it the way we do it. That Shkia is sunset, not the sun starting to move behind the firmament. Okay, let's do it that way. And Tzeis HaKochavim is when there's a certain period of darkness. So Rabbi Meir wasn't saying, when he says the Kohanim HaTovim, it wasn't at the beginning of your Ben HaShemashos, where before your Ben HaShemashos starts, when it's still, the sun is still out. No, it's after the sun has set, but there's still a few minutes, there's still 15 minutes before Ben HaShemashos starts, and therefore that's when the Kohanim can be Tovel, according to Rabbi Yosei, and that period the sun is down, so that could be called Zman Shchiva. And that's what I hold. Ana ben Hashemashas to Rabbi Yosei Kamina to Amar Rabbi Yosei ben Hashemashas Kerach Ayin the Nichnas v'Seyotzei the Efsha Lamod Allah. Yes.
Why do all the Tanayim have such why do they all phrase their Zmanim like the way that they're doing? Why can't if their position is Tzitzach Lachavim, Tzitzach Lachavim, why are they all saying when the Kohanim
Cloudy night
Truma and
Cloudy night?
What?
Cloudy night?
I guess so.
So you'll ask me how the Kohanim know when to eat their truma on a Friday night?
Yeah, what?
The answer is when their stomachs start to rumble.
No.
Of course.
But wasn't it the Kohanim who are Tomei who are eat truma? It wasn't all the Kohanim, right?
Well, no. Yes and no. The answer is the Kohanim, since truma was not an uncommon thing for them, not Tumas Mace, but really truma, they probably were in the habit of starting to eat their supper meal at a point, since they often ate truma, they were probably in the habit of eating at a time where they would have had Harav Shemesh.
So they would all eat it together? Why can't you just have some
of them right now? You've answered your own question. All right. So yes.
All these acts assume being awake also. I mean, you can...
Yeah. They were awake.
So well, nothing seems to align with Shiva.
No. Well, that's the same question of Tosaf. I'd have to say Krishna doesn't have. How can they eat? You're asking they have to go to sleep at that time. So it means that marks the time that people start to go to sleep. Yes.
There's no literary value to you picking these. It's more about actually just.
Well, I think that you give simonim where people will be nearer to people, actually. I think so. Yeah, there's a reason they do that. That is my assumption.
The Tvanim one would be more solemn.
What's that?
The Tvanim one would be more literary, because it's by the time of the Mara.
No, at the time of the Mishnah, they were still eating Truma, and in Eretz Yisrael, they were still eating Truma. And Ephraim asked me about this because the Yerushalmi, the Girsa that the Rukeach has and others have, that they were Nichnasim L'Mechatas. These were Amorim, these were Mechatas. If the Kohanim are going to be eating Truma in the Amorim Kiran as Yisrael, which appears they are, they have to be Tar, even Tomas Beis, which means they must have still had the Afer from the Paraduma hanging around, which means they could become Tomei, Tahar from Tomas Beis. Yeah.
So all this would have been recognized all
the time? In the Mishnah, certainly, yeah. The Tamarim, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So the fact that the whole eating times has an aspect of the Babylon civilization that there's some halachic reason that we want to say potential time about enough to not.
Yeah, they give it that's a drasha of the Mishnah. Right. So to teach us that it's not that it's taste versus shkia. That's not pshat in the Mishnah. Pshat is that you give a simon, that's nikah.
The
I think so. Okay, so now the Gemara on the top of Gimel Bava says, Tasha de Rameir de Rameir. How do you reconcile Rabbi Meir in the Braisa, first Braisa, who says with the Rabbi Meir who says that Tishah Shekhanim Tovim Nachal B'Trumasam. So the answer is Treitamei the Rabbi Meir. It's a very convenient answer. That's the last resort answer. That's what you do. Kashad Rabbi Eliezer, I Rabbi Eliezer, Kashad Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa, who says that it is Yishar Shekhidah Shayom, which is Shia, as opposed to the Mishnah, where he says Tishah Kohavim. So the Gemara says either you say it's what Rabbi Eliezer held, or you say that the opening line of the Mishnah, even though the first name we see is Dei Rabbi Eliezer, Dei Rabbi Eliezer is only modifying Atzof Hashemur Rishana. But Yishras Ukranim Nechasa Nach Shemasan is the Tana Kama's opinion that any or all of the subsequent Tanaim could agree or disagree with, and Rabbi Eliezer doesn't agree with it. What's that? Well, it has to be one or the other. They don't know for sure. They don't know for sure how to read the opening clause of the Mishnah, which is reasonable because you read the same Mishnah. They don't have a tradition on is that that's the sheet that's Rabbi Eliezer. Yes.
That's a lot of the way to figure out which one we hold by.
What difference does it make? We're not going to pass them like Rabbi Eliezer anyway if he disagrees with this kind of Mishnah. The Rif, by the way, goes on to emphasize the point. And the Rif actually dwells on this particular issue. And the Rif says that we pass this as a Kochavim. And he says, and I think he points out that the opinion of the Mishnah, the opening opinion of the Mishnah, is also the opinion of the Chachamim Rabbi Gamliel. And that's why he passed it that way. And he points out that according to one opinion of Gemara, it's not even Rabbi Eliezer, it must be that. That's what he says. His point is that the opening line of Mishnah is not only Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, that you could dismiss as a Das Yap and then pick a different line of Kriyashma, even though he's not thinking about it the way the Re does. Right, the Re says, oh, we hold like these, and the Minna Golem is going to be similar from another time, but the Zman of Kriya Shema is a little earlier, because it's Zman Shriva, not Laila. One of the closest is bothered by the question, this is not something I was going to discuss. Why does the Gemara have to say that Rabbi Meir is a Stira? Why don't you just say for Rabbi Meir that on the first price, the Mishah Sheh, is, you know, just before the sun sets. Why not say that? Right? That is an obvious opening. There's an obvious possibility. It's open there. So Tosis is going to fetch. Why not? So it's hard for me to grapple with this issue because, like, the times are so finely defined. You know, what can you split? What can't you split? What's quantum? What's not? But the question of Tosis. I chose to gloss over it. I wasn't going to say that, but jumped off the page. Right? In other words, you can solve the Rabbi Meir problem. And Rabbi Eliezer is impossible to solve that way. Because Rabbi Eliezer, Mishakide Shayom, is when you have to be Machmirnach to do Malacha. What's that? Right, because it's clear, both of his times are clear. Mishar Shakide Shayom is when it's a Suffolk Malacha, and therefore you have to stop doing Malacha. And Seisach Kochavim in the Mishnah is Seisach, it's very clear those are two different things. There's no way to say that Hadahu. But once you start to give, when this kind of a person does this, and that kind of person does that, so the Gemara, like it said, Aniva Kohen Hachira, Aniva Neadam Hachira, so you could have said maybe from there as well. Okay. Tosus of Esther says that. And Tosus says it, well, I mean, he says he's a different reason why, but I think my reason is a better reason. He asked that question for Rabbi Eliezer, but I thought it's obvious for Rabbi Eliezer why the Gemara is going to ask it for Rabbi Meir. It's not so obvious. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara continues and says Atzof Hashemur. So now again, they're bothered by why does Rabbi Eliezer give these zmanim in this way? Now the Gemara in that moment days is going to quote a machlokas Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi, how many mishmaros is a laila divided into? 4 divisions of 3 hours or 3 divisions of 4 hours. So Rabbi Eliezer says till the end of the first division, but that we don't know when that is. So why not tell us to be more specific? So the Gemara says no. Kasavar olam kasavar shalosh mishmaros havei laila. V'hal kamash olam de'ika mishmaros v'rikia de'ika mishmaros v'ara. There seems to be a dispute as to how to understand what is kamash olam. Is he kamash malon, just like we know that we have Ashmuras at night, in heaven there are Ashmuras as well, and you'll ask me, why does that matter? What's the nafkamina? Okay. Other than curious minds want to know. The alternative is that just as there are Mishmaras for Rakia, there are Mishmaras for Laila that are nikar in the natural world, in the way the natural world is knowing. So, You want to know what the nafka mean is? Kitzush mishmaros lechia? Is it the Gaonim say? Because that's a zman rachli for tachanim. Which, by the way, has struck me. I haven't had the chance to research this. Bar minhag slichos, especially the first night, but even b'nei yeshiva, is not to do slichos at night, but only to do it after chatzos alayla. Now, just my personal advice to you as b'nei yeshiva, I would strongly encourage you to do slichos either at night or better in the morning. Don't do it a post chatzos. Not even the first night. I mean after the first night. The first night you get a break because there's no shir. Not that you're not supposed to be learning Sunday morning when not here on Sunday, but at least if you're a little groggy, so it's not a problem because you won't have to be awake during shir. And the minhag, and then long standing, so even though I see more and more now in Rosh Shul, they're having a 10 o'clock meeting. It's like, what's happened? We're like, COVID broke the world or something? Because the first night, wait. Historically, I either do it at midnight, but because I'm an early to bed, early rise, I normally do slichos. Most years I've done slichos before Alos HaShachar, before Hanais, in the morning, you know, Beth Abraham. It's not my regular shul. Before Hanais, okay. Certainly. For many years, not all years, I davened at Beth Abraham, it's not just my normal davening, but they have a pre-Nates in Minyan. It's dark out when you start slichos, so that's why daven first night. But I would encourage you the other nights not to do so because it's going to wreck your learning and wreck everything that you're trying to do during the day. Look, if you're a person who normally doesn't go to sleep at 1:30, there may be a different problem. But if you function that way, that's fine. But if you normally go to sleep at a regular time, like 11:30, is that? Am I speaking French here? Chinese? Is that normal to people? I used to go to sleep by 11 o'clock and I was a weirdo. So in college, I go to sleep much earlier now, but I was unheard of, virtually. But people go to sleep 11:30, so is that like a normal time to go to sleep? I'm talking about Smicha students already.
I think that's what,
so if you normally do, then don't stay up to do, you know, by the time you finish. Go in the morning, do one of the slichos before davening. So you don't have your children, kapar of slichos, come at the expense of them not learning properly and so on. Again, if you're a night person who only is up that late, then by all means. But I'm just kind of wondering, the 10 o'clock slichos, it may not be 10 o'clock, it would seem, according to the Gonin, the end of the first Ashur should be a perfect time to do slichos. Who needs to wait till the middle of the second Ashur? I haven't had the chance to go and look at Shulchan Aruch why they talk about, you know, waiting till after Chatzos. I'm not really sure why that is, because it's a Shas Ritzuya. In fact, Chatzos is not the right time to do it. You should either do it at, if it were 6 to 6 day, it's not, but if it were 6 to 6 day, you should either do it at 10 o'clock or at 2 in the morning. You shouldn't do it at midnight, that's not the beginning of Shmur, that's not the Zman, that's Ratzur. But that's the significance of, just like there are Mishmaros for Ba'ara, there are Mishmaros for Akia, that's a Shas Ratzur for Tevas.
Are the Mishmaros not based off of the Mishmaros for the Levium from during the Pesach?
I don't think the Pashat in those, I mean, they might have broken up the nights into washes if they look at the Mishnayos in Midos. But I don't think those are Midoraisa. There's an obligation of having, you know, why did they break it up? It's just because it's hard for one person to stay up all night.
Yeah.
That's the reason why. But it's not a din per se. There's a din in Mishamu's, what's the expression? It's not Mishmaros Kulasan, but the Mishmaros Levim, that din in Kavod for the Beis HaMikdash, if they're guarding the Mikdash at night,
yes.
The way you guard a palace. And you split things up into watches, the way you always split, because people, it's hard for people to stay up at night. Remember, they didn't have
coffee.
Too late to take that course.
Why
did
they split it up?
Yeah,
I mean, if it's about something saying,
oh, well, it's obviously, it's not about, it's metaphorical.
I know, but
So Rash is the Malachim, because sometimes, you know, the Rakia accommodates the Ara. It's not the. Well, that's the question, which way are we going? What's the Kamashma like? But I don't even know what it really means. Look, it really means we envision the Elyonim as we live on this earth.
Sure.
That's the only way we can conceive it. So that's what's going on. Okay, so what is it? Alkom Mishmar Mishmar? Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'shoei Kalish Enemar Hashem Imaro Nishag Umumam Katsoi Ten Kalosh Og Yishag Anaveo. And Rashi points out that the root Shag appears three times here. God is roaring like a lion. I think this is from Amos.
Can you hear me?
It's Yumiya. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but Amos does say something like that.
He has a Yishag. I think of the second parak
or
something.
Yeah.
Blood. Okay. So that's why I'm mixing it up. And the Siman L'davar, the Siman, is Mishnah Rishon Chamor Noah, the donkeys are braying. Shnia Klavim Tzalakim, the dogs are barking. Shlishis Tinok Yonik Mishkeimo Vishem Asteres and Baila. The child nurses, and husbands and wives start to talk. And I mentioned this to you yesterday. People didn't sleep when they went to sleep shortly after it became dark. They ate their meal, they went to sleep. They didn't sleep. You don't need 15 hours of sleep. They're not yeshiva college students and midterms. They just don't need it. So the normal human beings who are properly rested and not exposed to all sorts of environmental disruptive factors, typically, most adults will sleep 7 hours, some 6.5, 7 hours. There's a machlokas, and then I forgot to finish to mention this yesterday. There's a big machlokas among scientists. And there may be this more than one pattern. There may be two different patterns of human sleep. There is a lot of evidence that people who went to sleep and then had a wakeful period in the middle of the night and went back to sleep, first sleep and second sleep. That book, I'll get to what I mentioned, E. Roger Eckert is the name. He talks about it. He collects all these, it's mostly a book collecting sources. There are those who disagree, but those who think that no people even being slept straight. But I think in sort of tribal societies, 6.5, 7 hours of sleep is a normal thing. Your children may sleep longer. So once you're getting to the end of the night, so people are waking up, why are they not going to work?
It's not laid out.
Because it's dark. There's no artificial illumination. Artificial illumination has moved us to a totally different sleep cycle, not probably for the better for us. And those who weren't here yesterday, I'll repeat it again, even though I'm knowing exactly like the Shulchan Aruch, it's clear to me that Al-Pidin, we should completely change the Zman of Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema is dependent upon Zman Shiva and Zman Kima. What's that?
The Rambam might disagree.
Well, correct. The Rambam is easy. Fly Lignon. And what that would do for Tila and Tzmichas Gula Tila, I don't know. But if you're talking about Zman Shiva and Zman Kima, so if you hold like most of Shemin, Zman Shiva, so Zman Shiva has changed. The Halakha hasn't changed. The Matthias has changed. Okay, fine. Anyway, the last thing we'll read now, and we'll stop with that. The Gemara says, Michael Hashem, Rabbi Eliezer, when he gives these three Zmanim, what is he marking? He gave you three simanim. If he's telling you what marks the beginning of the Mishmar, then Rishona Simana Lamali. Urtahu, why do you need a siman for the first Mishmar when it begins? It's when night begins. Isof Mishmar is Kachashev. If he's giving you the end of the Mishmar, Sof Mishmar Achlona Lamali. Why does he need the last one? Why Lamali Simana Yimamahu? It's day. And Lachashev, Sof Mishmar Rishona, Tchilas Mishmar Achlona. Now, once you're going to do that, I don't know why doesn't he just give you the three middles? That would have been better, but that's what the Gemara says. Okay. Ibai Tema, Kula Sof Mishmaros Kachasha. Now, it is all the end. Achi Tema, Achorna Lo Tzara. Lamayin Afkimina, Lamechri Kriyashma, Laman the Gani, the Bias Ofer, Loyavisman Kriyashma Emas. If someone was sleeping in a room that was completely dark, you had such things. It's called the Bias Ofer. I know they say Bias Ofer. Why do I say there is such a thing? Not for now, but it's a developing Muslim. A bias offer is not Makam within a Goyim. If you have a house that has no windows, it's not Makam within a Goyim. Because a Kohen has to say, Kamega Nira Liba Bias, Liba Lola Ori. And if it's a bias offer, you can't see without an Or. And therefore, a bias offer, you don't make windows for the Kohen to look. And it's not Makam within a Goyim. It's a developing Muslim there, but not for now. But a bias offer, you have people that make windows. You know why you don't make windows? Well, for starters, you don't have glass to put in there, number one. Number two, because it requires more complicated construction. That's all. Yeah. So, the bias offel, and it's dark, and you want to know when to say Kriya Shema, or as Tosa says, when it's time to start to get moving to say Kriya Shema, when your wife starts talking to you, when the baby starts pushing, you know it's not daybreak necessarily. It might be Alos HaShachar, but you know it's time to start getting moving. Shimmy?
Why are they arguing about this? Can't they just check when the simanim are? I don't think the simanim
are precise enough to really
check.
Okay. I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishnei the Rab. Give him Mishmaras Havalai Leval Kol Mishmar Mishmar Yosef Hakadosh Baruch Hu B'Shoei Kariva Omer Oy Shecharavti Es Beisi Shecharavti Es Heichali Eglesim Levein Umos Olam. So God Himself is in a state of sorrow that he has exiled his children and destroyed his dwelling place. And, So that's the idea of Imo Anochi Betzara, which we're going to read about in this week's Parsha. How do we know Imo Anochi Betzara? That when we suffer, God suffers along with us. Kivayachal. Veshav Hashem Elokecha Shvus Chavri Chamecha. It doesn't say Veheshiv, but rather it says Vishav, the Binyan Kal, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with us into Golus as well, and Vishav Hashem, now God is returning. That's Vishav S, it's not typical, because the Kal is not normally translated. Okay.
Do you think that it would just be